One of those conversations I'm sure you may want to re-listen to is the one I'm going to have right now with Dr. John Whitcomb. Dr. Whitcomb, he was many years as the head of the seminary there at Grace Seminary in Winona Lake, Indiana. He's written books. He wrote an excellent book on the Genesis flood, and indeed we love to have a conversation with him. He's still traveling in his 80s, traveling across the world, preaching the gospel and teaching the word of God. John, where do we catch you today?
I'm in southwestern Pennsylvania, where it's snowy and cold, and we are trying desperately to find some evidence of global warming up here.
Well, in fact, that's what I want to talk to you about. Happy New Year, my dear friend.
Same, and same to you, friend.
Now, why are you there? I heard a little bird told me that you and Norma are celebrating an anniversary.
That's right. This is our anniversary, and our children in Pittsburgh have treated us to a wonderful weekend here in the mountains of Pennsylvania, for which we're profoundly thankful.
Oh, well, congratulations to both of you. Praise the Lord for how God is using both you and your wife in ministry. Let's talk about that global warming. You brought it to our attention. You say you can't find it there in Pennsylvania. In fact, is global warming a possibility?
Well, of course, the Bible promises. Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, promised after the Genesis flood to Noah and to all of us that while the earth remains, day and night, summer and winter, seed time and harvest, cold and heat shall not cease. We can depend on God to maintain the climate, the temperature, the warming, the cooling. Everything is under His control. We can't change it. And, of course, now we know there's all kinds of contradictory reports. The scientific evidence for so-called global warming is simply not there. And God promises, however, that the day is coming, Jimmy, and we all know this, in which things will change and change drastically, and that is called the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation. Now, of course, even then, and to the end of the world, everything is under God's control. We can't change the climate. We can't change the world environment. Because God says in Colossians chapter 1 that through Jesus Christ, all things were created, in heaven, in earth, visible, invisible. You say, what things in heaven that are invisible did He create? And here they are. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, those are angels, ranks of angels that rule the world. All things were created by Him. That's Jesus Christ, my Savior, your Savior, our Lord. And for Him, and He is before all things. Now listen to this. And by Him, that's Jesus Christ, all things consist or hold together. He is in charge of the world. We are not. Our government isn't. No international system can take over the world,
John,
apart from God.
John, excuse me for interrupting, but why do you think these scientists are trying to manipulate the facts?
I think that they are trying to unify the world internationally under a system where we can control things financially and subject the nations to a system that will actually destroy us rather than help us. Poor people are going to suffer from this, Jimmy. Poor people will suffer. And the people who are trying to earn a decent living and work hard and be honest will be greatly, greatly hurt. God says, my plan is a better plan. Now, of course, in the book of Revelation, we're told that there will be global warming, Jimmy. It'll be awful.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be absolutely awful. In fact, Revelation chapter 8 says that when the judgments of God begin upon a world that rejects Him, has rejected Jesus as the Lord and Savior, He's going to send fire from heaven. A third of the trees of the world will be burned up. All the green grass will be burned up. And we'll blaspheme God more than ever, speaking of God's anger against the way we treat Him and His beloved Son who died for us that we might have eternal life, because He so loves the world. He wants us to believe, trust, obey His beloved Son, not some international geopolitical agenda of global warming.
Yes,
response.
Absolutely. Well, this is basically an attack against Jesus Christ, of course, and the fact that He created everything, and by Him everything does exist today, and it will until He gets ready to release that and let it all be burned up one day.
Right. So Isaiah 2,700 years ago said in chapter 2, the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everyone that's proud and lofty, everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And I say, Lord, help me to humble myself before you and to believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose again, and I desperately need a Savior, and He's the one. Help me not to try to change the world, but to trust the Lord who can change the world and bring in the kingdom, in which there'll be peace, there'll be prosperity, there'll be provision for every person on this planet with Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He told us to pray about that, didn't he, Jimmy?
He certainly did. Yeah, even so, come Lord Jesus. Well, it's been neat to have a conversation as we move into 2010 with Dr. John Whitcomb, understanding some of the activities this last year, the focus on global warming as such, the Copenhagen Climate Conference that was basically a failure, etc. But God's Word tells us, and John brought that to our attention today. John, again, congratulations on your 39th anniversary, and you and Norma have a great time. I doubt if you're going to be able to find any evidence of global warming there.
Not here. Thank you, Jimmy. God be with you.